ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। We'll chant Bhaja Govindam verses 21 to 25. Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam, Bhaja Mudamate, Samprapte Sannihite Kale, Nahi Nahi Rakshati Dhukrin Karani, Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam, Punarapi Janani, Jatare Shayanam, इह संसारे बहुदूस्तारे कृपया पारे पाहि मुरारे। व्रत्याचर्पट विरचित कल्पः पुण्या पुण्य विवर्जित पन्तः योगी योग नियोजित चित्तो रमते भालोन्मत्तवदेव। कस्तं कोऽहं कुतः यातः कामे जननी को मे तातः। इति परिभावय सर्वमसारं विश्वं त्यक्त्वा स्वप्नविचारम्। त्वयि मयि चान्यत्रैको विष्णुः व्यर्थं कुप्यसि मय्य सहिष्णुः। भवसमश्चित्तः सर्वत्र त्वं वाञ्छस्य चिराद्यदि विष्णुत्वम्। शत्रौ मित्रे पुत्रे बन्धौ मा कुरु यत्नं विग्रहसन्धौ। सर्वस्मिन्नपि पश्यात्मानं सर्वत्रोत्सृजभेदज्ञानम्। भज गोविन्दं भज गोविन्दं गोविन्दं भज मूढमते। संप्राप्ते सन्निहिते काले नहि नहि रक्षति ढुक्रिन् करणे। वर्स नंबर 21, द लास्ट वर्स दैट वी सॉ, is one of the most famous of quoted verses of the Bhaja Govindam. Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam, Punarapi Janani, Jatare Shayanam. Again, birth, again death, and again dwelling in the mother's womb, and coming out, and going through this mechanical existence. Here, samsare, bahu dustare. This samsara, terrestrial entanglement, is unending, never ending. It seems to continue. Death is only a kama, not a full stop. It is a long sleep. We all go to sleep with tremendous confidence that we'll wake up in the morning. If supposing there is fear that we will not wake up, you won't be able to fall off to sleep. Similarly, with reference to death, the biggest fear is there, because the fear of unknown. Fear comes because of ignorance, because of selfishness, and because of destructive nature, because of ego. So in case of death, I don't know what's going to happen after this. This is unknown. So in the area of unknown, there is fear. When you come to the known area, fear is not there. The moment you get into unknown, fear. Similarly, destructive nature. If you are destructive in nature, you're constantly insecure, afraid. So here he says, again birth, again death, unending samsara continues. It's a kama, it's not a full stop death. And this can only be put to a halt by knowing, he says, by crossing over the samsara is possible only by the grace of Murari. O Murari, O Krishna, O Lord, the highest supreme self, by identifying with it, and functioning in this world with the grace of the Lord, only you can destroy. See, you can put in the limited efforts. The limited efforts can only remove the vasanas. The self remains in its pristine glory, which reveals itself. So, he says, by identifying with the higher, you get rid of the vasanas and the self reveals itself. So, you need to therefore identify with the higher aspects of life, higher values and Lord. So, through surrendering to Lord Murari, he says, you can emancipate. So, in other words, we need to shift our attention, focus from the world to the self within. The moment we identify with the self and function, then we destroy the personas. So I also said in this verse that ignorant people are afraid of death, wise people are afraid of birth. To start a samsar, they are afraid of. And ignorant fellows are not at all afraid of starting samsar. They are very clear to start, ready. I remember many years ago, I don't know if Mamtaji remembers, but I remember very well that she came to Urmilaji's house. She was brought by Madhu Kanuri, I think, Madhuji. She came there and she attended one class and then said, can we start a class in my house? Honestly, I was very, very skeptical. And I said, many times what has happened is, in our experiences, we are very good in starting classes. Very few classes sustain, especially when they say Gita. A little more scared because it takes 10 years, 11 years. So I said, okay, you know, a little bit doubtfully, because what happens is initially there is a lot of enthusiasm, they'll start. But once having started, slowly the enthusiasm dwindles. But that did not happen in this class. In fact, majority of the class members still have the interest and want to study, and now they even asked before this class, I think Shweta asked, what are we going to study after this Bhajagovindam? So there's a lot of enthusiasm to study the scripture. But that's not the case with many places. So you start and then, you know, slowly the interest dwindles, especially when it's a longer duration. Now, if it's a small text, just commitment for a few months, they're okay. So you will always think twice before getting involved into any commitment. Because it's easy to get in, very difficult to extricate. So what do we learn from Mahabharata's story of Abhimanyu? Abhimanyu enters the Chakravyuh. He doesn't know how to get out. Same problem with us. So many people say, you know, I want to go to the ashram, I want to study, I want to come to these classes, but, you know, there is some but. They, something, my children, my grandchildren, my business, my travel, my this, my that. We are not saying you should come to the ashram. We are not saying you should come to the class. But you are saying you want to do it. But yet, what is stopping you? That's the question. That which is stopping you is the samsar. See, samsar, you should understand, there are a lot of people misunderstand the word samsar. Occupation is never considered as samsar. It's the preoccupation that is considered as samsara. Pain is not samsara. But when pain preoccupies your mind, it is samsara. Are you getting it? Corona is not samsara. But corona preoccupies you. You know, little bit, if you cough, is it corona? Sneeze, could it be corona? And even in the class, I'm a little bit afraid now, because once when I had this back problem and I told Mamtaji, you know, I think Mamtaji put it that way, but in some classes they didn't put it that way. They just put, I'm not well and the class is not. Immediately everybody is sending message. What is happening? Is everything all right? There's nothing wrong. In fact, they are well-wishers. Out of concern they're asking. But what I'm getting at here is that samsara, which is nothing but preoccupation. When food is on the plate or in your pate, it is not samsara. But when it starts occupying your brain, it is samsara. So that's what he's saying. This punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. This is called samsara. Why this is samsara? Because so much of attachment, this, that, which creates vasana, this is samsara. In the case of a Mahatma, there is no samsara. Even though he may be running an ashram, even though he may be running business, even though he may be running kingdom, Sri Krishna was running kingdom. No samsara. We may be having only one begging bowl, tremendous samsara. How to save this begging bowl? What will happen if this begging bowl is stolen? Kya hoga? This is samsara. So that's what he's saying. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. Before going to bed, you analyze. There is so much of expectations and this and that for tomorrow. I hope tomorrow is a better day. I hope this will come, that will come. This is samsara. Just leave the thoughts aside and extricate yourself that you don't. So in this samsara you are caught. And to save yourself from this samsara, you got to learn to slowly, slowly shift your attention towards the divinity within. And that is the help you get from the Shastra and the Guru. And without establishing yourself in the higher, without the grace of the higher, there is no way can you extricate. Next verse. Verse 22. Ratya charpata virachita kaltaha punya punya vivarchita paltaha. Ratya charpata virachita kaltaha punya punya. Vivarjita paltaha yogi yogani yojita chitto ramate bhalon mattava deva. Yogi yogani yojita chitto ramate bhalon mattava deva. Ratya charpata virachita pantaha punya pun vivarjita paltaha. Yogi yogani yojita chitto ramate bhalo mattava deva. So I already mentioned to you that the first verse is a chorus, and then starting from verse number 2 to 13, which is 12 verses, are the verses given by the Guru Adi Shankara. Then from 14, for about 14 verses, so 14 to 27. Each disciple, Adi Shankara had 14 disciples. Each disciple gave one verses. And then 28, 29, 30, 31. Again Adi Shankara comes and gives the last four verses blessing the student. This is the entire summary of the Bhaja Govinda. So this verse also is given by one of the student. Each student, according to their reflection, they are reassuring the Guru that they are getting the message of the Guru correctly. So he says, the sage who wears a shawl made of street rags. I already mentioned to you, whenever these kind of verses are coming, you know, a shawl made of street rags and all that, don't take them literally. It is only talking about simple living. Simple living is an effect of your high thinking. A simple living which is not an effect of high thinking, a simple living which is an effect of attachment to money, savings mentality, is not what he's talking about here. A shawl made of street rags. What do you need? You need a shelter, you need clothes, you need food, basic necessities. So I don't want to allow myself to be bothered about all other things. Swamiji always mentions this, you know. Just get your goal fixed, set your house in order, then plunge. In Tamil, he says, Summa plunge pannunga. Summa plunge pannunga means just plunge, man. Just plunge. Summa means just like that, casually. Just plunge. Big deal, nothing will happen, you know. Fear, what will happen, this, that, and that. Just simplify your life. Don't, as much as possible, you should make your life independent. Not become dependent. If it becomes dependent, it's a problem. So, just before this class also, Madhuji said, you know, there are a few people not going to come. So, okay, fine, we'll start. We're not dependent. More people come, less people come, it's fine. Nobody comes, chutti. Very good. Very good, not in the sense of, you know, trying to run away from work, but The thing is, don't become dependent on anything as much as possible. But at the same time, you have tremendous responsibility. So, responsibility minus the sense of indispensability. One set of people, no responsibility, complete indifference. Other set of people, tremendous responsibility and sense of indispensability. As if without them, nothing will happen. Third is just relax. Responsibility minus sense of indispensability. A simple living who wears a shawl made of street rags, a sage, and whose path transcends merit and demerit. See, this merit and demerit, punya and pap. Punya, punya, he says. Punya, punya means punya and pap. Now, your action can be propelled by selfishness, unselfishness, or selflessness. Majority propelled by selfishness. Some majority propelled by selfishness. Anyone propelled by selfishness. When I any conducting Bhagavad Gita class, it could be you know, more need and this attack be my thing. Selfish. Or this of Krishna teach everyone. We understand, must get this knowledge and rely selfish. Neither nor selfish. Do an act self driven. You punya up. Then action is propelled by selfishness to gather both and pap from spiritual pap. Use for that in some sin means punya and pap both. Anything that keeps you away from divinity is sin. There's a Puranic story where Jaya and Vijaya, the gatekeepers of Lord Vishnu, were told by Mahavishnu once that I'm going to rest, don't allow anyone, whoever comes, tell them to wait. So they were doing their duty. I think Sanat Kumaras came on. Somebody, some sage came. And they said, sorry, Mahavishnu is sleeping, you can't go in. He cursed them. And these great people who have done so much of tapasya, their thoughts become things immediately. So their, you know, curse has to come true. So Mahavishnu came and said, yeah, you know, I only told them, so they didn't do anything wrong. But he said, listen, my thoughts will become things now. They have to go through. Only thing is I can give them option. What? Either they go back to the world, three janmas, they will, each of them will be born, three janmas. Where three janmas of extremely evil persons or 100 janmas of good people. Which one they want? Good person or negative? They say, we'll take three janmas of evil because they want to quickly get back. There is nothing else they are interested in. In other words, you forget about all this. All you understand is, as much as possible, you should learn to live in such a way that you are able to contact physically, but in your mind, it's not. See, now this class is going on. Once this class is over at 12:15, you should learn to be in the next moment. Now, with reference to class, I know you will be able to do it. Instantly, you will gravitate to the next moment without any problem. But in the next moment, when you are with the family or with your business, from that, when you move to something else, are you able to do that? That's the biggest challenge. People take their workload to home. People take their home samsaric issues to the business. They can't handle it. They can't. They will take the house problem to the office. Office problems to the house. You should learn to leave it there. That's called no samsara. Occupation is there, but no preoccupation. So, if you live like that, then no merit, no demerit. Otherwise, merit, demerit, dono aira. Depends on what you are getting involved. You get involved in selfish, self-centered, aggrandizing, acquiring thing as an end in itself to develop more and more pap and all that. If you get involved in charity and this and that, while charity is a very good sadhana, but if you get involved in it, then it's another problem. Even this conducting class and all these things, if you get involved. See, there are stories where Jada Bharata got involved with deer and he was born, reborn as deer. Nothing, you should get involved. They say, you know, you should live like water on lotus leaf. There is no connection. There's a greasy surface on the lotus leaf. No touching business. Simply see yourself there, do it and get out. So, then no merit, no demerit. So a sage is one who lives with absolute sense of detachment. Whose mind is well united to yoga. Well united to yoga means the unification with the self. Yoga comes from the root. Yuj means to unite back to the origin. So their mind is dwelling only in that higher. How soon can I get out? That thing is. When do you want to go? Yesterday. Yesterday means I should have already gone. It's already getting delayed. Going not because I hate this place. I understand that this place is temporary. I want to be identified only with the permanent. Such a person is this, revels like a child, like a madman. See, the beauty of child and madman. Now, the interesting thing is, Mahatma, sage, is compared to a mad fellow. See, the comparison here, first of all, whenever you do any comparison, one or two aspects are comparable. Don't compare everything. You know, if they say that Shivaji was a tiger, Shivaji was a tiger doesn't mean he had stripes on his back. And he had the canine tooth and nails, all these things. That is not the comparison. Shivaji was as ferocious as tiger. Sardar Vallabhai Patel was Iron Man of India. Does it mean that when during summer he will melt? No. Iron means that strength of his mind, his determination, the dedication that he had for the purpose of unification of India was as strong as iron. That is what is comparable. So when he says here, revels like a child and madman. See, child is innocent. When we were children, we were also innocent. We lost our innocence. When you realize the self, you will again become innocent. The difference is, in the case of children, it is unconscious innocence. In the case of a Mahatma, it is conscious innocence. That's the difference. Child is absolutely innocent. The child doesn't know good, bad, nothing, because child is zero doership. Child has zero doership. Zero ego. In the present moment, they may fight. Children may fight with each other. The mind's impulse is there. But immediately they become friendly. They forget about everything. Because of children's fighting, parents start getting involved and parents start fighting with each other. Children have become friends. Parents are not talking. I know one case, my very close friends, two of them, they are very good friends. Both the fellows are living in US now. They are happy. They are very good friends. We keep chatting on this Zoom nowadays. The parents are not in talking terms because they had a fight when they were children. So these children, they don't carry anything in the mind. Same thing with Madhav. He lives in the present. Absolutely in the present. No ego. Both children and madman has no ego. See, ego is the memories of the past. You always say, Pata hai main kon? Pata hai mera baap kon? Pata hai main kon? This thing, that thing. This is all memories of the past. And we keep saying, you know, India has this many years of history. What does America have? This, that, all that time going on, talking about the past, the memories of the past. Madman has no memory of the past, nothing. He will be doing things normally with us and suddenly he will do something where you have no connection. Similarly, a Mahatma is from outside looks like he is with us, but inside he is connected with something where we have no access. And children live absolutely in the present. No worries of the past, anxieties of the future. Nothing. They have no connection. This is samsara. This worries of the past and anxiety of the future is samsara. Doing your action in the present is not samsara. So when Vedanta says get rid of samsara, it is not saying don't do action in the present. It is only trying to say disconnect your mind and do the action. This future, where is future? It's in your mind. Animals don't have this. You know, they eat when they are hungry, that's it. There's no, oh, it's very tasty. And then, you know, scheming and planning to store, invent a refrigerator. There's no future, nothing. This we can do consciously. In the case of animals, they don't have a choice. In the case of children, the ego is still not manifest. They are doing it unconsciously. When we grow, we can do it consciously. So a man of perfection or a woman of perfection is one who is established in the reality as a result of which the doership is gone. So they become absolutely as innocent as a child or a madman. So that's what he says. Revels just as a child or a madman. Unmattavat and balavat. Vat means like. Balavat means like a child. Unmattavat means like a madman. See what it is. So, we got to learn to become innocent again. Our intellect is seeming and seeming to extract. Our intellect, when it becomes innocent, the tendency to hoard and extract will go. If at all, what is there will be a spillover. This tendency to hoard is samsara. Spillover is not samsara. Remember this. When you have simplified your life and whatever you are required, you are using, therefore there will be some thing which is left over, it's called spillover, which is also going to be used for the purpose for which you are working. There's no tendency to hoard. This tendency to acquire, hoard, compete, fight with each other, future, you know, bringing in the worries of the past and tensed as to whether this time we will win or this time also it will go away, what's going to happen. The whole thing is samsara. Just go, relax, play and come. Even today, Sunil Gavaskar again and again he says, whenever they ask him and he's doing commentary, which is the best innings you have seen live? He says the innings that Kapil Dev played in 1983 in the league stage when India played against Zimbabwe. India was, I think, 17 for 5, then it was 18 for 6. And Kapil Dev came in when he was 17 for 5. He just played as if nobody has got out, nothing is happening. As if it's a practice match. He scored 175 not out. He says, that innings is the best, he says. That sense. Forget about winning, forget about losing. Be in the present, play. Then your full potential comes up. So a child lives like that, moment to moment, moment to moment. They don't go into the past and future, nothing. Completely forget. They will be as if they are involved. They'll be arguing, doing this, that, running, and everything will be going on. Body becomes tired, lie down, sleep. That's it. And again, next day morning, they get up, get it. No worries of the past, no anxieties of the future, no doership, no nothing. A self-realized Mahatma lives like that. So this is what he says. He puts it in a very interesting summary. Simple living with high thoughts and performing actions, staying in the middle between merit and demerit. No merit, no demerit. There is no merit or demerit for the Mahatma. Why do you want to gain punya? Punya itself is a concept that comes when you are attached to the future. Because punya is the thing where we book the ticket to go to heaven. Heaven or hell is a state of mind. When you are in a positive, happy state of mind, it is heaven. When you are in a agitated, tripping, these kind of states, it is hell. There is no geographical place called heaven or hell. This is different mind frequency. So, this is also state of mind only. Atma is beyond mind. They are interested in going to the Atma, not wanting to be in some state of the mind. All these are different states of the mind. They don't get involved. So, they stay in between, do according to their prarabdha in whatever is for the welfare of the world without desires. The mind is united with yoga. That's all. Brahman, nothing else. They revel like a child, they revel like a madman. So don't go about saying self-realized soul is a madman. Self-realized soul is not a madman. He is like a madman. He is like a child. Like is a very important word here. I always will say mad fellows. All mad fellows are realized souls. No. The difference is there is no choice or consciousness there. Here there is choice and consciousness. One aspect is constantly identified with a self. Mad fellow, you know, how would you, when you see him, he will be talking to you nicely and suddenly he'll say, I have an appointment with Elizabeth, I have to go now. Go and meet Queen Elizabeth. There's no connection. What is he talking? Similarly, a Mahatma is having one leg absolutely rooted in Brahman, in reality. So nothing of this world disturbs him. In that sense, the comparison is made. Next. Kastvam koham kutayatah kame janani kome tatah. Kastvam koham kutayatah kame janani kome tatah. Iti paribhavaya sarvamasaram vishvam tyatva swapna vicharam. Iti paribhavaya sarvamasaram vishvam tyatva swapna vicharam. Kastvam koham kuta ayatah kame janani kome tatah. Iti paribhavaya sarvamasaram vishvam tyatva swapna vicharam. Kastvam kahatvam. Kahatvam means who are you? Kaha aham. Who am I? Who are you? Who am I? Kuta ayataha. From where have I come? Nobody knows. Matthew Arnold, I think he says, life is an arrow shot from darkness, flutters in light for a while and disappears into darkness. Where did we come from? Suddenly we are born in mother's womb and then came out. Where will we be before that? Where are you going to go after this? No idea. Now that we are manifest, completely attached to this body. So who are you? Who am I? From where have I come? Who is my mother? Kame janani. Mother is the one who gives you birth. So kame janani. Who is my mother? Kame kome tataha. Kome tataha means the father. Who is the father? Iti paribhavaya sarvam asaram. Sarvam asaram is this. Thus inquire having renounced the entire world as essenseless. Saram means essence. You know, when you filter something, keep on boiling. Now especially during this corona, I keep saying, you know, put the herbs and this and that, keep boiling. Take the essence, drink, nothing will happen. So, that essence. So, So like that, Israel is what, when you finally filter, what is essence? His body, when you burn the ashes, everything when you start scrutinizing, going to that essence, what is that? That is, he's asking us to analyze that. Don't get caught in the superimposition or manifestation. Inquire about the essence, and then you will see the whole world is essenceless. Asaram. See, you fight with people, your friends, relatives, even own brothers and sisters, they fight. Go in the court, and sometimes, you know, when you go in the roads of Delhi, some of the huge big bungalows, haunted houses they've become. If you inquire, they're because of litigation. They will not settle unnecessarily. You know, you will not, impossible. Sometimes they come to us, and when we say, they become angry with us. I say, some people, they're a little sensible. You know, leave it. Anyway, you wanted to go on fighting till your great-great-grandchildren, that's up to you. Be sensible. Don't waste your present time getting caught in all these things. You know, carry on. See where, somewhere you can meet and do something. The interesting thing is sometimes both these warring parties may be known to us. Both are contacting, yet nobody listens. Because it's not easy to leave. That 1 rupee extra, when you already have some millions, but that 1 rupee you can't leave. So he says, yes, senseless. When you are sitting on the bed, what will happen now? What is the use of all this? Huh? All your awards, all your money, all your relations, nothing works. Some of my relatives, one or two have died in Chennai out of Corona, old people. Now, somebody recently, last week, they called me and said, you know, grandfather has passed away. He was already like 83 or so, 84 or something. And they found out he had Corona, and when he was admitted in the hospital, and he died there. Apparently, he was saying, last wish was, he was calling his daughter and grandson to be with him. They won't allow. Nobody can go. The grandson was waiting outside from that hole. You know, they have that glass from that he was seeing, and this man was seeing him from there. As he was seeing him, his pulse rate reduced and he died. This whole thing is essenceless, and keeping the grudge, this whole nonsense, he says, is essenceless. Inquire. Move on. Don't keep it in your head. All these are born of imagination. You have identified and you create this problem. You remember the story, I don't know how many times I said that story. A man wanted to sell his property, and he had put it sale, but according to him, he had not sold it because the property was in his son's name. And the property got, there was a fire in the premise. So he came to know about it, he started crying. And his son called him later and said, don't worry, the property was in my name, I already sold it. And I have reinvested, and it's, the rate has gone up also. Immediately the tears stopped. Now what does it mean? Your house was on fire, still now it is on fire. My is gone. It's not anymore my property. It's been sold. Tears stopped. Before it was my, tears were there. So what is this? In your mind it is there. It's your imagination. Just think about it. See, if you inquire the life, the child born to you, from where is he? And you are born to your parents. So that's what he's asking you to inquire. Who are you? Who am I? All this he's asking to inquire. When you inquire, your parents could have not produced you without digesting the food. And they didn't produce the food. Some farmer produces the food, and that also not everything he does. There are so many people. He buys the seed from somewhere, and then he is plowing the seed and he is irrigating the field, but water is coming from there, ocean. And a whole nature is involved in the process. The sun is, you know, heating the water there, and it's getting evaporated, and then it's falling down as rain. Then it comes to his place, he's irrigating it. I mean, so many factors go in, and then somebody has the desire to sell that property, that product, buying from the farmer, selling in your city. Then your father and mother eating that, digesting it, and they have the urge to produce, which is in them, given in nature. And that, you know, all these factors coming together has produced you. So who are you when you think? This is the whole thing will come in your mind. Then you will say, my God, why am I getting involved with my son, my daughter, my this thing, my that thing? Out of your labor, you buy something. And from where did this energy come from? Again, so many factors. The oxygen, the sun, the, you know, sun gives vitality, the oxygen, then water. So many factors go in. Innumerable stuff goes into that. And then from that, you are able to work. And the knowledge given by your guru, your teachers, your parents paid for your fees, and then you went to school. Everybody's contributed. Now you do the action and you get mind. Meta, born of imagination. This is what he's saying, born of imagination. That mindness is imagination. Remember that. It's madness. And because of that mindness, the whole world is suffering. Everybody is going through this. Say, whether you go to America, China, everywhere, it's the same problem. My land. India is taken. India says, my land, China is taken. You go to America, then they say something else. We were here before, they came later, this, that, black, white. It's just incredible. So he says, all this is in your imagination. The product that you have, you are hanging in your house, or earlier in some exhibition or somewhere, and then you bought it, now it's become yours, you put it there, go on looking at it every day, admire it, then it has come into your mind. In your imagination, it is there now. Then somebody takes it, now it makes a lot of dent in you. For example, when you buy a car, you have booked the car, you are about to take the car for delivery, let's say, and before you take the delivery, when you see the dent, you haven't taken the delivery, you are relaxed. No problem. You take the delivery, you've signed everything, you come out, you're going to your house, on the way, some dent happened. That's it. Your whole life will be gone. So born of imagination. You yourself, this limited self is an imagination. The I, when you inquire, is something that is permanent. You say, I am a child, I am a boy, I am a man, I am an old man. Child, boy, man and old man are not same. But the I is same. The I is continuous. That I is different. But the I that you are now talking about is this personality. This is born of imagination. It's a temporary thing. Reflected thing. It's born of imagination. But this imagination has a history. Has a lot of thoughts. That's why it's tough. Not easy. When you, I mean, this example is a little difficult example to digest, but I can't think of a better example now. Compared to a stillborn child, a child that is grown up and has come to the teenage or early 20s, and then when the son or daughter dies, which is more painful? There are people who go through a lot of pain when child is stillborn. Of course, that's from a relative point of view, it's pain. But compared to that, when the child has lived for 21 years, then when he or she dies, samsara is too much. Why? Itna mental energy uske piche chalegi. There is so much of mental energy. That is what he's saying, born of imagination. You question it, it won't be there. When you don't question it, it will be there. See, you see a form, you take it as real. When we question, then you know that it's a name and form. In real, it is gold. You see, there's a necklace and there's already fighting going on. One mother, three children, four children, five children. Who's getting that necklace? Fighting. Already in the mind it's going on. And then argument comes, this comes, that comes. Issue becomes bigger. And you have been putting solid thoughts behind it and saying like, it's mine. Now somebody comes and takes it. That's it. So if with your fake thoughts, you've created this. It's now to you, it's real. When you inquire, it will not stand the test of reality. That's what he said. You inquire anything in this world, will it stand the test of reality? Reality is that which existed in the past, exists now, will continue to exist in future. Nothing is like that. Nothing is like that. It's incredible. So many people come and go in your own life. So, inquiry alone will keep you sane. If you don't inquire, you cannot be sane. Hardly anyone inquires. You will inquire now in the class, but once you go into the world, inquiry gone. He says, thus inquire. Keep your intellect alive. When you keep your intellect alive, then you will see the essencelessness of this world and you will see the essential reality. And this is Bhajagovinda. Bhajagovinda means between essential and non-essential. Keep on at it. Then you will see that this is imagination. You are imagining now to be this. It's all in your mind. You remember that example of that cold charcoal? You keep on getting hypnotized that it is hot. You will feel the heat. You can't hold it anymore. You will drop it. And when you are brought out of hypnosis, the palm is burnt. The palm is burnt though the heat was fake. It's not real. Imagination has so much of power. Remember this. This imagination is samsara. You have imagined yourself, my father, my mother. Now don't go out and say, I'm imagining that you are my father. You will be finished. Understand philosophically. My father, my mother, my children, my this thing, my that thing. What is this my first of all? Establish that. Can you establish? Like I told you, the farmer has contributed. The ocean has contributed, the sun has contributed, the earth has to cook it. And for that, the moon is also contributing. So many things. But then who are you? You are basically that whole Brahman that has come in this form. But now, in this, you know, relative reality, you get involved. It's a problem. It's a very big problem. Same thing with the nations, boundaries, this, that, everything. See, West Germany, East Germany. We all know that. We were growing up that time. Now, where is West Germany, East Germany? Both one. No West Germany, no East Germany, no nonsense. There was one wall. I know somebody who is living in Delhi. They've got that little portion of the brick. And you know, some of you might have also got it. Little portion of the Berlin Wall. And West Germany will only can compete in Olympics when America is holding it or competing in that. If Russia is holding, West Germany will not go. And East Germany will go. Now what happened? That wall broke, all gone. Now suddenly everything is different. India was against America that time. India was siding with Russia. Now India is a very big ally of America. Friends, things keep changing. You create in your imagination. So therefore, inquire is yes. A sensible thing to do is quietly inquire. Then you will not get attached. Who are you? Who am I? Who is my father? Who is my mother? Inquire that. When you inquire, then you go to the real source. What you think a source today is from a relative angle. So from a relative angle, it is the source. You need to have gratitude. All that is fine. You need to have patriotism towards your country. That's fine. But don't lose your head. Similarly, it happens in politics also. We get into sides. Never get involved in it. It's not worth it. That's why I gave that example of corona situation. Look, his own grandson, he wants him to be next to him. He can't. He can't. Luckily, in that hospital, there was this door and he was there so they could make him see from that. God, what are you talking about? It's essenceless. Everything is so meaningless. Suddenly meaningless. When I remember a few years ago when Rajesh Khanna passed away, whole day the television channels, they were covering it. He was such a big superstar for a while. And then, nothing, he became useless, nobody bothered about him. Apparently he was living somewhere in Delhi also. So, nobody cares. Suddenly when he died, whole television channels covered, everybody writing about it, this, only thing, he is not there to see all those things. This is life, essenceless. So much of janjat that we go through is useless. This, please understand the word essenceless. Essenceless means transactional purpose is there. So that much should be there. Iron and gold is good for buying iron and gold. Don't get involved and don't lose. It's not worth it. Today's peace is more worthy than all this nonsense. But we do. You will listen, you will appreciate, but when it comes to practical, no, you will not. In fact, people give Bhagavad Gita quotation to me when I say this. They say, sir, you only told us. Krishna told Arjuna to fight for his rights. Now you are telling like this. I say, Hari Om, leave me alone. Because it's difficult to make you understand. That's why he says, thus inquire. Having renounced, within bracket. Whenever the word renunciation comes, I told you, within bracket, knowledge. Because renunciation is not possible without knowledge. When you have escalated yourself to the higher, the lower gets automatically renounced. So having renounced the entire world as essenceless. Senseless means what? Entirely, world is what? Nama Rupa. The entire world is nothing but Brahman. When we go to Upanishads, you'll see how beautifully he talks about certain things. He says, which we studied in the 7th and 9th chapter of the Gita. From Brahman, this world comes about. That's it. Brahman is both the Upadana Karanam and Nimitta Karanam. Upadana Karanam means material cause. Nimitta Karanam means intelligent cause. Like a spider, he says. In the Munduka Upanishad, he gives this example. Like a spider. The spider spins the web out of its own saliva. The old Brahman has become the space, air, fire, water, earth. And the space, air, fire, water, earth combining becomes this subtle body first and then the gross body. So what is this? This is basically Brahman in different names and forms. According to karma, one is born in opulence, one is born in poverty, one is, born with proper equipments, another is not born with proper equipment, some defect is there. Swami Ramtirtha gives a beautiful example to explain this. He says, you are sitting in your house. Your house has kitchen, lounge, bedroom, TV room, bathroom, different rooms are there. Now, sometimes you are manifest in the bathroom, sometimes you are manifest in the kitchen, sometimes you are manifest in the bedroom, sometimes you are manifest in the drawing room, sometimes you are manifest in the TV room. So, you are one fellow only. One fellow identified with bedroom, identified with bathroom, identified with kitchen. Similarly, the one Atma identified with a particular body, which is some defect is there in the body. Physically challenged. Identified with a mind which has some kind of a mental challenge. Identified with a house or properties which is opulent. Identified with some is poor. But it is the same Atma. One fellow, when you go into the kitchen, you are in the kitchen. You are wearing the clothes and cooking. Apron and all that. You come out, then accordingly different clothes. The same thing. So what is the essence? The essence is the Brahman. This world is Nama Rupa, which is essenceless. All fight is on this Nama Rupa. Essenceless stuff. So thus inquire, having renounced the entire world as essenceless, which is born of imagination. That imagination has to be cut. Not easy. In the Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's life story, it is given there. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's guru, Totapuri, apparently smashed the idol of, Kali or some idol. Because Ramakrishna Paramahamsa was so much identified with it, that was an obstacle, last obstacle he had for realization. That was the last obstacle. His thought became so fixed in it, he got involved in it. So what his Guru Totapuri did, I believe, is smashed that Kali. I mean, the Kali means that idol. When that last identification gone, thought gone, what remains is divinity. See, this is the whole idea. You create an idol, sculptor, is the one who is creating it. And then it is installed, and a lot of mantras are chanted, and this and that. Then the mantras make it powerful, and everybody is going and doing puja and everything. Now there is this form. So it's reality from that angle. But you've got to go beyond that. But if you get stuck with an idol, that's also a problem. So, in life, if you see what the Vedas do, the Vedas create this through rituals. See, wife, she is born and brought up in some other family somewhere. You are born and brought up in some other family somewhere. You went to America or London to study. Then you saw each other, you liked it, and then you proposed and this and that. And then you went on. And then the rituals are there in religion. You have your ritual. Supposing they are from a different religion, you go through 2-3 weddings. Their religion rituals, your religion rituals, this, that. All are mentally having an effect. Now, mentally, so many thoughts have gone between the two of you. Now you become one tied. Then, it's very difficult to cut it. That's why when difficulties, differences crop up in some of the marriages, they may go to the legal court and they may even file for divorce and cut it. The divorce has come through. But the pain is terrible. You can't go through that pain. It's torture. I mean, we understand it. We can feel it. You can't go to them and give all this lecture that time. It's madness. It's in fact wrong service. Just give them love, emotions. When they become available, slowly, slowly get them out of it. But that imagination is so much that it is so difficult. You know, you can't cut it. It's not easy. Very difficult. To cut it, you need strength of the Shastra. In the 15th chapter, if you remember, he talks about Urdhva Moolam Adash Shakam Ashwattam Prahur Avyayam Chandamsi Asya Parnani, that verse number 1 of chapter 15. The Urdhva Moolam, the Moolam of the tree is Upar. And Adashakam, Niche, the branches. What is this? It's talking about the samsaric tree. Chandamsi Asya Parnani. The leaves are the Vedic hymns. So through these Vedic hymns and rituals, you conduct these rituals and the samsaric, you know, bondage is established. People tree, right? So there is some religious ficosa, something is the biological name for it, botanical name. So that tree is like banyan tree. The main root is also there, it has subsidiary roots. So all these subsidiary roots are the samsaras, tying, you know, uncle, auntie, grandfather, business, this business, that business, foreign currency, Indian currency, this thing, that thing. All this is tied. And then we are there. And one by one, when something is cut, you feel you are being cut. You created it. So that's what he's saying. It's a fascinating verse, born of imagination. Now to question that imagination is scary for you. Because imagination has become real. Real has become imagined. Anyone who talks about Brahman, Atman, you say, I have no time. Be careful with these words. Anyone who is talking about how to become successful, how to grab more, how to do this, how to do that. Yes, I will go for it. Because the mind is now ulta. Imagination seems real. Real seems imagined. This is the problem. It is actually the problem. Whoever sees it, sees it. Bhagavad Gita says, Ya pashyati sa pashyati. Nobody can help it. I can't help it, you can't help it. So, yaha pashyati saha pashyati. So, to see this as imagination means this form which has been given a name. When you inquire this form, it's not the same. You know, I shave and come and sit in the morning class, evening class, again it comes. It's going on changing. See the object, for example, you see this watch now. You see this today, after 1 year you see it seems it's the same. It's not. It's constantly changing. But the change is happening at a so subtle level, it's not visible. After so many days or years, when you see, you will see the change. It is now available, the change is now available for perception. But now while you are seeing it, the change is not available for perception. But while I'm seeing you, the mamta that I related before the class is not the same mamta I relate after the class. It's different. She has changed. I have changed. Everybody in the class has changed. But no, we don't realize. We have this fake thing that we are relating with the same people. No. There are so many things which has come in her and gone. which is not there now. There are so many things which has come in me, which is not there now, is gone, and new things might have come. So it's constantly changing. But there's a fake reality created in both of us. And then I'm relating with this Mamtaji, and Mamtaji is relating with this PLN. This is going on. But this whole thing is imaginary. If you can conceive this, that is why he says, Asanga Shastrena Dhridena Chitta. Cut it asunder with this sword of non-attachment, which comes from Shastra. Asanga Shastrena. Shastrena. Shastras will give you the sharp clarity to see the substratum upon which this imagination is created. You need some substratum on which the imagination to be created. And that substratum is an example, if you see, gold. Upon the gold, ornaments are created. Isn't it? If there is only one last piece and two fellows want it, big fight goes on. End of the day, both are gold. The shopkeeper may say, you take another one, I'll give you some discount. No, same thing. I want this. Nama Rupa, superficial, imaginary, we are caught in. We have lost the substrate. So in other words, we have lost to value the reality. We are valuing all that is imaginary. Nama Rupa. So this is what he says, enquire. Quietly go, sit and enquire. When it comes within you, then this samsara leaves your mind. When the change comes, instantly it comes. It may take time for you to open your eyes, but when you open your eyes, instantly you see it. You may sleep like Rip Van Winkle slept for 20 years. You may sleep like him. It may be difficult to wake up. That is possible, maybe. But any day when you wake up, you suddenly see what the madness I've been doing all these days. Unnecessary. I'm gone. See, if you're 40, 50, 60, 70, whatever age you are 40 years. Where is it? It's only in your memory. That also not all 40 years. Some things here and there in your memory. Many stuff is gone. Similarly, before we realized, already 6 months ho gaya. By the time this corona thing started, 6 months gone. We are talking about another 6 months maybe. I don't know how long this problem is going to continue. Time flies. And, you know, this is how he describes this essenceless world. So when you inquire all this, then you will say, yeah, I don't want to get involved. It's constantly changing. So I must have the perception of that changeless reality while I'm relating with the changing world. Then no samsara. Then when I hit the pillow, I can sleep within 30 seconds. In fact, 20 seconds I can fall off to sleep. Why? Nothing is in my head. Because my head is like, you know, George Bernard Shaw says, he was a vegetarian. So he says, my stomach is not a burial ground. My stomach is not a burial ground, he says. Similarly, my mind is not a ground for all the memories to stay put there and get attached. They come and go. I'm not going to get attached. You know, work is there. You need to access it. Access, get it. Use it. Then get it. Send it back. Stay in the present. Can you do that? Very difficult. Very, very difficult. So much of attachment. I'm leaving behind my children. I'm leaving behind my this, that. What will happen? Kuch nahi hoga. As if you were the one responsible for them to survive when they were surviving also. They were surviving in spite of you. They'll survive after you. So, he says, where have you come from? Who are you? Are you this personality that you are thinking about yourself? Who are you? Hindu, Muslim, Christian, communist, you know, right, left, center, center left, right center, all these kind of, you know, never get into any of this. Difficult. Because the moment you come in, it sucks you. Samsara is very powerful. Before getting into samsara, do proper inquiry, make your, like, you know, this corona thing, they wear all this PPE, and then this mask, and then one shield, then gloves, and then they have one case also. Then through that, they come and test you. In spite of it, the corona goes this way. You have to be careful. So, that much of protection will be given to you only your inquiry. There is no other way. You have to see it, realize. And teach and wait for the person to see it. Not possible. Like the 3D pictures, you know, the 3D paintings sometimes you see. You have this in the books. Very nice. It will be like ink sprayed. You see them, you don't see anything. You focus on them for a while and keep it at a certain distance and focus. Suddenly you will see a beautiful aquarium or a cricket stadium or a swimming pool. Something, auditorium, something very nice depth you will see. And once you've seen it, then when you keep changing the pictures, next page, everything, you can see the depth. So you say, oh, beautiful aquarium, beautiful swimming pool, there is that. Other fellow saying, where, he's struggling. Just wait. Once that fellow sees, he also got the depth. So in our life today, it's a very, very limited dimensional approach. And once you inquire, you get that different perspective. And that person is gone out of imagination. If you want to get out of this imagination of nama rupa, it's only through inquiry, he says. Let's conclude now. Om Purnamadha Purnamidham Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Bodhyatmanava Prakrite Swabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayana Eti Samarpayam. Hari Om. See you all.